Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin in studio.
It's the first for us in a long time.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think I've seen you in studio in quite some time.
We're usually doing our virtual gig. This is nice to be here.
We see each other, but it's usually on the go. Mm-hmm. Nice to have you back at the home base.
Thank you.
Got a very special episode today. We're going to have Luther Burden's wide receiver coach on. Jacob Peeler is going to join us. And listen, get the insight, because the falling in the draft, there's been some interesting comments made about him by Steve Smith, but just the dog that this guy is, going to be interesting to see how he got here and what that insight can bring. Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by the Advantage Auto Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes, and they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6, right off I-80-94. Also, got to tell you guys all about Mitch Lyons, because Yurko is not here. I did not share grass with Mitch Lyons, as Yurko often says, although I can see how that sounds weird now when you don't know that he's a football player. But Mitch Lyons was a former NFL player who played with Yurko, and he's now in the business of protecting your nest egg and optimizing your income. Go to MitchLyons.com, MitchLyonsWealth.com, L-Y-O-N-S, Wealth.com, MitchLyonsWealth.com, your best game plan to protect, grow, and win retirement. All right, with all the business out of the way, I'd say without further ado, let's introduce wide receiver coach at Mizzou, Jacob Peeler, who has brought us this amazing product of Luther Burden III to the Chicago Bears. Jacob, welcome to the show.
I appreciate y'all for having me.
It's great to have you here. Let's start off here. I mean, the player that the Chicago Bears are getting, if you had to base him or break him down in the simplest form, what would be your one word answer on what Luther Burden is?
Yak. I think that's the biggest thing. You see a guy that when the ball touches his hands, just the play's just getting started.
I love it. An absolute yak monster is something that we've seen a lot from him and has been reported about him a ton. But now, when looking at, you know, some of the other receivers that you've coached, what about Luther really stood out in your mind?
Yeah, number one is just the growth in the process, him being obsessed with the process. I mean, you talk about a guy that was, you know, highly recruited coming out of high school, could have gone anywhere in the country, and really wanted to, blaze his own path, chose Mizzou over some, you know, perennial blue bloods, and, you know, really wanted to leave his mark on his home state school. And he did that. I mean, you look at where we were as a program when he signed versus when he left it. We have a slogan in our building, say, leave it better than you found it. And he definitely did that, not only as a program, but the receiver room too. So, you know, obviously, you know, he's got a bright future ahead of him, and I'm excited for seeing him get to develop there in Chicago.
He's been touted as maybe, if not like sure, you know, hands down, the biggest recruit in Missouri history. Somebody who you mentioned chose Mizzou over, I believe, Georgia, Alabama, a lot of other blue blood programs in the college football world. How did he handle that expectation coming in? Did he like feel the magnitude of that and what he had to live up to of his own expectations, but everybody else's going into the Missouri football program?
Yeah, if he did, I didn't notice it. He was a guy, number one, that early enrolled, got there. And if you didn't know his name was Luther Burden, you would never have known anything about his track record or his, you know, past history as a recruit. I think he came in with wanting to prove himself. You know, there was moments along the way his first spring where, I mean, he had a ton of success, and he went right back to work, you know, and didn't kind of say, okay, I got it figured out. You know, and he took his lumps along the way that first year and really translated those, you know, to an All-American season his sophomore year. But again, just a very humble kid, a kid that really enjoyed the process of getting better. And sometimes you get young players, especially playing the wide receiver position, that they want to be told how great they do things. They don't want to be told how to get better and what they need to work on. And he was very open to how do I get better, and enjoyed that process of it.
Yeah, Coach, you're coaching in a very different time in college football right now, right? The NFL time period, NIL, I should say, time period is creating a lot of different kinds of athletes, and we saw that play out in the draft in a very big win, Shedeur Sanders. How was that kind of pressure around Luther navigated where, you know, I'm sure there's people that are looking at him and saying, we'll give you this money to endorse this. How did he handle that kind of pressure coming along with his name as well?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. He was the first kind of guy that at least I had experience with that walked in and was in the NIL area. And even teammates, right? They were all looking at him like, hey, here's this Luther Burden kid, you know, NIL five-star. And again, I want to reiterate, you never would have known it. Here's a guy that just showed up. You know, for us, we always say, are they a list guy? You know, do they show up on list for being late? Do they show up on list for tutoring? He is a guy that just showed up every day, worked his tail off, you know, very humble in his approach. And, you know, you saw a guy that had some success and continued that success. Obviously, I know this last year, I'm sure, you know, the numbers weren't quite the what they were as a sophomore season. And, you know, never once complained, never once, you know, you have guys on the sideline coaching my position that sometimes are a little bit, you know, get a little emotional on the sideline. Never did that once. Just showed up every day. And man, I was so excited to see him get his name called the other night and get to experience that with his family. But yeah, just a very humble kid, very stoic, quiet kid. And, you know, when you put the ball in his hands, he turns into a different guy for sure.
So he burst onto the scene as a freshman. And I know Eli Drinkwitz has talked about, you know, how raw of a talent he was at that point. And then realizing at some point along the way, it's not just talent that carries you alone and the real buy-in coming before that All-American sophomore season. What was it that made him want to go deeper with it, with nutrition, with, you know, the work that he does outside of being within the football program, where he put himself on a trajectory to be drafted in the second round?
Yeah. Number one, he came in and he obviously earned a starting position that year, and he was playing actually wide out for us. And I think the biggest thing for him was getting his butt kicked a little bit. You know, you're going against guys that are 3-4 years older than you, especially playing in the SEC. I think that was a very good experience for him. You know, got to learn that, hey, to your point, hey, I got to get my diet. I got to get the weight room. He was a guy that played every sport in high school. And sometimes when that's the case, they don't have the time in the weight room that maybe some of the other guys that don't play multiple sports have in high school. So he really dove into Coach Russell and our nutrition staff's, you know, programs. And you saw him really just change his body that offseason, really change, you know, just that alone, along with everything else that he got developed that all season, and just that spring really kind of springboarded him into that sophomore year.
In that sophomore year, he has one more yard, finishes with one more yard that season than Marvin Harrison Jr., who obviously goes fourth overall in last year's draft. Was that a moment that Luther, at least projecting out his future, when he sees what his production was and what he had to do to get it in the hardest conference in football, where he could tell himself, like, I can really do this at a high level? Or was there something else that showed him, showed you, showed others around him, you're going to be an NFL receiver in the not too distant future?
Yeah, I think just sitting down with him, you know, we always have meetings pre and post, whether it's season, whether it's, you know, pre or post spring ball. You know, we sit down and we talk through goals and we talk through things that we want to achieve. And, you know, for him, it was never about chasing anything else. It was really about just him and his goals and what he wanted to be better at. And, you know, I've been fortunate to coach some really good players and, you know, him being one of them. And I think just at the end of the day, he's a very humble kid that wanted to be the best version of himself. I mean, he would always constantly ask for other NFL wide receivers film to study those guys in his all season and just say, like, hey, here's some guys in their release work. How can I get better at that? And I think just his approach was really good. And you know, again, I think just getting him as a freshman, as a sophomore, and as a junior, you just saw a guy really grow every day.
Hearing you talk about him like this, because getting to hear from somebody who was in the building with him every day versus somebody who's just watching his game on tape, I do think it is a benefit. And we heard Steve Smith's comments. I'm not sure if they made it back to you, but he talked about how he thinks that he's a good football player, but thinks that he was force-fed at Mizzou at times to try and increase his draft status. He believed that basically, if he didn't get the ball, talking about Luther Burden, that if he didn't get the ball, he became unfocused at times. You would push back on all of those comments from Steve Smith.
Yeah, one, I haven't heard those. Obviously, respect Steve Smith. He's one of the greatest to play it. But no, I have not heard that. I was with the kid for 3 years. And here's a guy, a great story for you. So in 23 season, he kind of burst on scene and obviously was having some success. Well, defenses get smart, right? So they start playing safety over top. You can start getting those guys some help. Well, at the end of the year, we had a running back that is now playing at the next level in the NFL. His name's Cody Schrader, and he was blocking his tail off every single down for his teammates. And, you know, it'd be critical moments, whether we're playing Ohio State or playing Tennessee, and, you know, some critical moments, and we had to run the football. And he's on the sideline encouraging whether it's other receivers or his offensive line to block for his teammates. So, I can't speak for other people and what they think. I mean, I've lived with him. You know, I say live with him. I've been with him for the last 3 years. He is a great teammate. He is a selfless teammate. And, I'll tell you this. If I had an opportunity to draft him and play on my team, if I was coaching next level, he'd be my first pick.
You said you gave him some wide receiver film of guys at the next level. Who did he want to watch to try to emulate some of, you know, their game into his?
Yeah, for example, A.J. Brown, who's a guy that I had an opportunity to coach at Ole Miss, was one of which, because he's a guy that kind of similar, played wide out early in his career, kind of transitioned to the slot. So he watched a lot of his stuff, really good yards after catch. Devontae Adams was another guy that he watched. Justin Jefferson, you know, guys that are really good at the line of scrimmage. I know those off the top of my heads were guys, you know, Jamar Chase, another big physical guy that played physical. So those were guys I can off the top of my head that I remember him specifically asking for.
I did coach with some of the names you just dropped there, because now we're looking at Luther Burden. It's like, okay, so this kid knows what he's doing. What part of his game over his time at Mizzou do you think translates the most quickly to the NFL? Because I think there's so many things with him where, you know, you look at how good his hands are, how quick his hands are, you know, even his ability just to have that yards after catch. It's funny, with a guy like DJ Moore on our team, he kind of reminds me a little bit of DJ Moore and some of the stuff he's able to do. What part of his game do you think translates quickly to the NFL?
Yeah, I think obviously playing in the SEC, you're going to see a ton of man coverage. Obviously in the NFL, you're going to see a ton of man coverage. And just his ability to beat those, if you look at it from this season alone, there's a fourth down play versus Auburn where they bring zero pressure, and he has to win on a one-on-one route that to essentially help us win that game. It was late in the game. Look at South Carolina. He runs a slot fade on a fourth and five in a critical, critical moment. And that's the thing you look at, is just his ability to win versus man coverage. And that, you know, not only did that happen in games, but it, you know, happened in practice. For us, rewind 2 years ago, we had three NFL DBs, two corners and a safety drafted that were rookies this last year. And that's who he went against every single day in practice. And so, for us, some think it's just in the games. It happens in practice. But I think that's the biggest thing. And not only did it his ability to beat man coverage, but also in critical moments, two of which I mentioned were fourth downs, game on the line. And he made the play and won. Look at Texas A&M this last year. We start him out at wideout, first play of the game. We throw him a one-on-one fade ball, and he makes a play. So I think those things, translate obviously to the next level, and his ability to beat man coverage, you'll see that.
What precipitated the move, or like, what did you see in him that made you think he'd be better, more effective, getting a majority of his snaps from the slot?
Yeah, we brought him in, obviously, as a true freshman, trying to figure out what he could do and what he would be best utilized. At the time, we had another guy in the slot that I ended up actually being drafted this year as well, that had left our program. And we just thought, for us offensively, that was where it all started, was in the slot, getting the slot the ball. And so we had him at wide out, and we had a void there, and we felt like that would fit him most. I'm probably biased in a way. I had done something similar with A.J. Brown when we were at Ole Miss, and, you know, it worked out for him. He went back-to-back 1,000 yards, All-American seasons, and kind of saw some similarities within their game, and I thought that may help him translate a little bit into the slot. And, you know, it obviously took off that sophomore season.
Now, the dip in production, I know that's something that Luther talked about. It's something that the Bears talked about. They didn't see any change, really. Obviously, same offensive coordinator, quarterback system. What do you attribute why his numbers dipped significantly from 23 to 24, but also how he handled that to be able to maybe use that as motivation or any other tactic that kind of kept him going through the season last year?
Yeah, you know, football is a sport, right? You know, we dealt with some injuries at the quarterback position. Our quarterback unfortunately went through some injuries there. You know, and that's not an excuse. That's just, you know, unfortunately for everybody. You know, in teams, he's not going to sneak on the scene. You know, teams tried to take him away at times, and, you know, presented some opportunities for his other teammates and also the run game. But the thing you hit the nail on the head too, Courtney, was You never notice a change in him. You know, his approach, you know, him on the sideline when, you know, he's got sometimes 2-3 guys lined up over top of him, and he just went out and did what he's supposed to do on that play. And we missed on some opportunities early in the year that could have possibly helped us. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think for him, it was, you know, kind of an STP mindset. We say that here, you know, something to prove, and he's got something to prove as he translates over to the Bears. And, you know, again, there's a lot of critics out there. That's part of the position. So I think he's just excited for the opportunity to, you know, embark on this new journey.
I think a lot of people would push back on that and say, Coach, but weren't they doing that when he had the 1,200-yard season? Do you feel like the quarterback difficulties and the changes just really affected kind of how you guys were able to run your offense last season?
I mean, yeah, times teams did do that. You know, if you look at that 23 season, as I mentioned earlier, the you know, with our running back, Cody Schrader, I mean, you look late in the year, whether it's the Tennessee game, you know, obviously Ohio State, I mean, teams were giving us lighter boxes, and so we had to run the ball. And you know, even later in that year, you know, he may have not had early that season. I mean, you look at it, I think he had 100-something yards in a bunch of consecutive games. And as the season, excuse me, went along, teams started kind of changing. So, I mean, football coaches they adjust, they're smart. And so, you know, for him, again, at the end of the day, you do what you do and you get your opportunities. And, you know, again, we'll see how it translates.
Ben Johnson summed it up as Luther Burden is a playmaker waiting to happen. When you hear that, are there instances, I know you mentioned those fourth down plays, so in those critical gotta-have-it situations, he's the go-to guy. But outside of that, is there one other instance you think of that defines him as this playmaker that you can plug in, and in a moment's notice, he's making a big play?
Yeah, well, I'll give you two. I'll make them brief, but one, 23 season, Kansas State. It was a critical game for us in our season, and he started off the game with a big post touchdown. But late in the game, I should say, there was a situation where we tried to use him as a decoy and try to fake a screen to him, and they covered it. All the other teammates were covered. Excuse me. And at the end of the day, we check it down to him, and he turns a huge explosive play, runs down the left sideline for a touchdown on a play that wasn't even designed to go to him. And he, you know, obviously made a couple defenders miss and scored that touchdown, and ended up being a critical touchdown, a critical moment in a critical game for us that we needed to kind of springboard us into the rest of the season. But also the Cotton Bowl versus Ohio State, it was a situation where we had to have a touchdown to seal the game, and man, he made ran a tremendous route, you know, and obviously very well put ball for our quarterback, and just that critical. Again, I think the critical moments when the game was on the line, how many times he showed up, and he did it not only once but multiple times throughout his career. I think that's what, you know, that I think back on.
Coach, I want to take you down memory lane here a little bit. You've seen so many great wide receivers in your time. What was the moment where you saw Luther Burden and you were like, oh, he might be one of those guys?
I think, honestly, it was probably in practice. As I mentioned, we had some guys that had an opportunity to go play at the next level. And for me, as a true freshman, going through that first spring when he should have been going to prom, should have been, you know, probably sitting in math class. I mean, sitting out there on the field with us and going against some really, really high-end talented players. And I saw that at that moment. And just his approach, you know, and that was when I knew he had a chance. Because, you know, as a freshman, again, as I mentioned, with a lot of stuff on his plate and, you know, you saw some successes in practice. That's when I knew. And then you get to see it at, you know, in the game, you know, our first year opening season game, he made some huge plays and some huge catches. So you knew he had it in him from the moment he got here.
Is that something that you've run into before? I know guys enroll early in programs all the time to get there for the spring, but it seems that would take a different sort of mental makeup from a player who is a kid than going to be around, you know, grown men at that point at the college level. Like, how was he able to handle all of that and be able to be so effective as a freshman right away?
I think that's just a testament to, you know, one, the kid and his mindset, but two, just the people around him. You know, I think at the end of the day, he surrounded himself with good people and good teammates, you know, and the culture that Coach Drink has built. And you know, again, we try to make sure that, you know, our guys are our daily approaches is right. And he did that. And again, I think he was ultra competitive. He was ultra coachable. And he was, you know, a guy that wanted to be coached, and I think a testament to him and his daily approach with that.
Coach, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to visit here with us. Coach Jacob Pila, ladies and gentlemen, clap it up in the comments for him. We appreciate you. We appreciate you giving us such a great product as well in Luther Burden III, because Bears fans right now are buzzing with this young man around Chicago.
Yeah, obviously excited for him. And like I mentioned before, I think the fit will be great. And I'm excited for him to get started.
Sounds good. Appreciate you taking the time out, Coach. We will talk to you later. And hopefully we can have you back on after he has a great rookie year.
Sounds great. Appreciate y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Jacob Pila, wide receiver coach at Mizzou. Courtney, some good stuff there with, you know, kind of what the Bears are getting here in Luther Burden. I think that this is a exciting moment. You get to hear him debunk some of the claims that have been made on Luther Burden's name about the kind of wide receiver that he is. And it just seems like not only are the Bears getting a good guy, which Ryan Poles puts above all else, but also that you're getting a receiver who is willing to fit into whatever you're doing with DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. You're going to need some of that.
I think the thing that like stands out to me in what Jacob was talking about is, you know, those late game situations. He's your go-to guy in that offense. Now, how that works in the Bears offense, if they're, you know, last year they weren't in a lot of late game situations. I mean, yes, there were some one score games, but to find the dog out there, the guy that you throw the ball up to and expect him to go make a play. For whatever reason, there were moments that failed in the Bears offense last year, whether it was on coaching, whether it was on execution, all of it ties together. But clearly in his Missouri resume, he's proven to be that guy. Now, how is it going to work in this offense when you do have a lot of mouths to feed? Like, that's going to be an interesting thing to see how they incorporate Luther Burden into that as another option, whether he's in the slot, whether he's out wide. We know we can play both, but it's intriguing to think about. This is somebody who was so used to doing that to be the guy who puts Missouri over the edge. And obviously they've had a lot of success the last couple of years. And even in dealing with those quarterback injuries, you know, how he dealt with the face of adversity. You know, you think back to last year with the Chicago Bears, how DJ Moore, who was their number one, this guy was number one in Missouri's offense. I think there's a lot that he can lean on from the vets about how do you get through any sort of like rough patches so that can help him not hit that rookie wall that most guys do at some point, but to like lessen the blow almost. I feel like given he's already gone through some of that and he's been the go-to guy still where you have to show up in those moments.
Yep.
That's, you know, clearly the Bears saw something with that on the film. They're like, that can translate to the pro level.
I think what's interesting too, is this another case of somebody getting hit with RBF? That everybody's just coming out and trying to like, oh, he's not really engaged. He seems like, remember DJ Moore last year, everything with DJ. And listen, I think some of it is, you know, the frustration and stuff like that. But there were certain points where me and you had to come on the mic and be like, guys, look, that's just DJ's face.
Sure. You know, the one thing that stood out to me last week, last Friday, Luther Burden gets drafted and we do the Zoom with him. And he seems pretty annoyed to a degree, just that he was that he fell to the second round because, you know, as we said, Matt Miller called him the steal of the draft. Yeah. Like he had a, you know, second round projection from most draft analysts. But it was this a weird part about this last draft where it'd be like somebody was really high up as like one of the top players on the board, but because of where the runs went on specific positions, it might push somebody a little bit further back. You know, how is he going to be able to channel that into his rookie season, knowing that you are the third option more than likely? They've got DJ Moore, they've got Rome Odunze, and now they've got Luther Burden. So I'm curious to see what you take from your previous experiences and apply it to the pro level now, knowing that he's done the work to get to that point. He's done the work to get drafted that high. You know, I'm curious if there were, you know, other instances at Missouri where if he was having an off day, if he's out there working out at midnight like he was last Friday, yeah, to kind of burn off some of the frustration of that first round that he went through.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think the one thing for me that I'm really excited about with Luther Burden is his ability to kind of play that inside outside. I think that's going to be massive for him, especially because we don't know exactly where everyone's going to slot into this. Ben Johnson has basically said that everybody can play.
Yeah, he said there's no depth chart right now. So that will be interesting. I mean, I feel like you want interchangeable guys. You don't just need an X receiver who's only going to be outside. You've got to have guys who can win matchups all over the place. And, you know, if you're looking at who the Bears drafted, he and Colston Loveland are going to be competing for targets out of the slot.
Yes.
So creating mismatches, having the personnel to do it in a variety of ways, that's what the Bears are telling us. That's what they got in this draft class, particularly with, you know, a player who very well could have been or could be in the eyes of a lot of people the top receiver in this draft class.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Matt Miller's point of him being the steal of the draft. Listen, I personally thought he was a better, more complete wide receiver, I should say, than Matthew Golden. I think Tet McMillan's a better wide receiver. I think the question mark for me with Tet McMillan is, in my mind, I don't believe you can watch film at the NFL, or you can't watch film at the NFL level and be good.
I think
coaches will fix that.
For
but
sure.
That was a concerning comment where, listen, if he
got interest outside of football,
yeah,
and people that a negative thing. So
I mean, but it is, and not to say interest outside of football, but for me, right, when Chad Johnson, when T.O., when all the top receivers, and I'm taking you, the top 10 wide receiver, when all of those guys sit there and look at it and go, yeah, but I had seen this on film a million times already, so I knew how to play this play.
You get humbled by
the
what you don't
you
know
real
very quickly.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, a really good point of, you know, this seems like somebody who's, like, we haven't talked to him that much. I don't know if you describe him as a film junkie or things like that, but it seems like when he took the step from freshman to All-American sophomore year, clearly there had to been more than just, you can't just rely on talent alone to get you there. So to recognize that at a young age, a lot of players sometimes take a little bit longer to get there.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the thing for me with Luther Burden, right? He feels like he's coming in. I think a lot of the players the Bears got in this draft, they feel like they're coming in with something about their game that's already complete. Now, it's got to be complete for an NFL moment. There's going to be coaching that adds to it. But, like, Luther Burden feels like the guy that you could have slotted in on a team with no wide receivers and been like, he's going to have a really good rookie year. He's going to be a number one option for some team.
Yeah, and, you know, with the Bears, that's going to be really intriguing to see how – you know, last year the whole idea was you've got 3,000-yard receivers. How do you get all the mouths fed? And it does become impossible to a point when there's only one football. I know it's a cliche, and Ben Johnson's been asked about this, and I think the cerebral nature of what it takes to be an offensive play caller and keep people engaged when they're not getting the ball, that's important. And we'll see how Luther Burden and how all the other players react to that with Ben Johnson. But I'm curious about how this looks compared to what it looked like in Detroit, where you had your 2,000-yard guys, or like one, you know, close to it, Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, and then a little bit of a drop-off, and you had some, you know, obviously you had your tight end.
Yeah,
you had
Laporta,
Where does Luther Burden, as a rookie, is it more of a slow playing, like get him in, like he doesn't have to be the star right away? Is that something that eventually he, you know, the role that he rises into? I think there's a lot there that shows high ceiling, high reward for a player who's very talented.
I'll ask you this, Courtney. I mean, let's lock in on where the Bears roster is at right now. We're talking like, we didn't just sign Olamide Zaccheaus, you know, what, a month ago?
And Devin Duvernay, but who's obviously, he's a teams guy.
Devin Duvernay is more of a special teams, but like, can we guarantee that Luther Burden is starting this season off
as wide receiver,
as the number one slot guy?
I mean, you use the highest second round pick you have. Yes, I think I would guarantee that. Okay. I think Zaccheaus, who had the resurgence last year,
I was going to say, had a good season
in Washington. Yeah. That's slot depth. I mean, I think if you look at this like depth chart right now, and you're wondering who's the odd man out, the obvious answer is Tyler Scott.
Yeah,
but it's a good spot for the Bears to be in, knowing that they feel like it wasn't just the offensive line, it wasn't just the pass rush, it wasn't just, you know, locking up Kyler Gordon and T.J. Edwards. They've bolstered a position that felt top heavy with DJ Moore and with Roma Dunze, but they also have some really good high end depth behind them.
Yeah.
As a number three receiver, your depth, but like, that doesn't mean that you won't have a game where you get to go off. And, you know, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Look, I mean, when you talk about it, when you look at Ben Johnson's offense, a good chunk of yardage that's gained in that offense comes from the slot.
Yeah.
Right. It's why I was like, okay, so is DJ Moore going to play in the slot more? Is Rome going to get some time in the slot? And when Ben Johnson talked about it, he was like, listen, we want to have everybody where they can all slot in at different spots. And I think you've got three wide receivers that can do that. Rome talked about it. He was like, I feel comfortable anywhere on the field. So it's good to have a embarrassment of riches in a city where we've kind of just had embarrassments. So it's fun to be here. You mentioned Tyler Scott. I thought about this the other day. Can you imagine watching yourself lose your job on national television?
Like, yeah,
that's how it felt to me. Like, I can't imagine they're doing the ESPN reporter draft. And they're like, oh, with the number 58 pick, we're going a different direction at your position. Like, that'd be nuts to sit there and watch that.
Yeah, and I think it's part of the business, and it's the difficult part where guys have to, especially when you're a fourth-round pick,
yeah,
you've got to make plays early on. You're not going to have the same timeline. Luther Burden was picked 39th overall. That was a really high draft pick that they used on him. And to be able to, you know, his ceiling projects where he's going to be given a longer leash,
yeah,
like from the start. And well, you know, who knows?
Maybe we saw it with Bayless.
Well, he if he bursts onto the scene, then you're looking at a very quick and easy decision about how you can cut the receiver room by the end, yeah, of training camp.
Yeah, it's that's the part for me where it's, you know, I think what's interesting too is I don't even know how much of a leash there is, because the one thing we saw last year was T. Scott have a good training camp. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a really good
a lot of receivers training did, but camp. Does it matter in the end? No,
exactly. Really not. That's the part for me that I think is going to get tough. And I think actually, we're you know, to quote Ryan Poles here, it actually is going to be tough to make this roster this season versus what we saw last season. But we'll see what the Bears end up doing. We got mini camp next week.
Yeah, rookie mini camp next weekend.
So that'll be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see what the rookies are going to be able to do when they get out there. No quarterback rookie this year, but it should still be a great time. And then football's coming quickly, Courtney. It's so far away, and I'm not ready to give up summer, but like every week that goes by, I'm like, we're almost back.
I know. May is here, which means that training camp is right around the corner. Yeah. Wild enough.
Did you do the It's Gonna Be May challenge?
I did not.
You did not? I need to see that on Around the Horn.
Maybe that'll be what I sign off with in a couple weeks.
I need to see that on Around the Horn. Hey, man, for Courtney Cronin, it's your boy, Pat the Designer. We appreciate Jacob Peeler taking the time out of his day, wide receiver coach at Mizzou, to come through and talk with us. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down, one love. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Peace.